From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain Daily. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Wednesday, July 8. The border between New South Wales and Victoria closed this morning, with Greater Melbourne and the Mitchell Shire entering 6 weeks of Stage 3 COVID-19 restrictions from midnight tonight. Yesterday, Victoria broke its highest daily coronavirus case record for the second day in a row, with 191 new infections confirmed. The Department of Health and Human Services has apologised for taking 3 days to deliver donated supplies to more than 3,000 public housing residents in hard lockdowns in Melbourne. I'm joined now by The Age's city editor, Bianca Hall. Bianca Hall, welcome back to Please Explain Daily. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you, Tori?
I have to say that the rest of us are looking at you Melburnians with a mixture of sympathy and horror and, oh God, please let that not happen in the rest of the country.
I think a lot of people here are looking around with a fair bit of horror and resignation as well. As people have said, it's one thing to do it the first lockdown, but when you find yourself looking at six more weeks of it and the playgrounds getting taped off and centres closing, it's hard.
Because we all sort of thought we had beaten it in a way and that, you know, we were on the way out the other side, and now this has come along and made us all realise that actually this is a bit of a permanent state now, isn't it? Dealing with these rolling outbreaks.
I think it's a good reminder that you can't take your foot off this, even for a second. It makes me wonder whether we've pursued the wrong strategy with suppression instead of eradication, because we will have to be vigilant for months, if not years, on this.
How would eradication have worked?
We would have had to have locked down harder for longer at the start.
Can we get into what's happened with this new wave? There's no doubt that this came out of failure of the hotel quarantine system, which wouldn't have been avoided by a continued lockdown, because those people still would have been coming into those hotels, yeah?
That's absolutely right. So the state government outsourced the management of the quarantine hotels to private security companies. And it seems very clear that the standards they were following weren't up to scratch. We've had reports coming out of the hotels of guards using the same pair of gloves to touch various surfaces and to touch travellers' bags, guards not wearing masks, guards reusing masks over subsequent shifts. So it's been handled fairly shabbily.
It's such a shame, because our colleague Rob Harris wrote a big in-depth feature about 4 weeks ago about how the hotel quarantine, which has really been the biggest factor in Australia's to this point success in dealing with the virus, more than any of the social distancing measures or the restrictions, was actually Daniel Andrews' proposal to National Cabinet. He was the one who pushed for it. Why did he not go for having police and military police these lockdowns in the hotels in the way that New South Wales has?
Look, I can't answer that question, but I know that the police have been behind the scenes lobbying for assistance in these things. The police union secretary, Wayne Gatt, has been fairly vocal that he thinks that police should be focusing on policing rather than working on some of these issues. But I think it's fairly well acknowledged in Victoria now that it would have been better handled had it come from a health perspective. Some of the guards say that they were given training of an hour in social distancing and proper processes. Even if they had an hour's training, I'm not convinced that a lot of them were following those standards. Mm.
I have to say, I've heard your Premier Daniel Andrews a number of times on radio and television this morning. He's doing the rounds, and it just doesn't sound good, because he kind of keeps refusing to answer the question about who's responsible for this outbreak, while kind of putting it on Victorians as if it's some kind of moral failing of the people of Melbourne.
Yeah, I think that has actually grated on a lot of people. People have given up a lot. A lot of businesses have gone under. People have lost livelihoods. What we're hearing from the Premier now is that we're going to have an inquiry, and all those questions will come out in the wash in the inquiry. And he's been very careful, and so have his ministers, not to answer direct questions about whose fault this is or how it could have been avoided, because it'll come out in the inquiry.
Yeah, it must be incredibly frustrating for the people of Melbourne who are now facing, you know, remote schooling again, businesses that had reopened and now have to close again.
Yeah, there were gyms that had been open for a couple of weeks, cafes that had only started to have people through their doors again that are now looking at closing again. I've got friends whose businesses were maybe going to survive, but now that the second lockdown has hit, they'll probably have to shut their doors. It's tough.
It is. It's devastating. Let's talk about the tower blocks, Bianca. The 3,000 people that were put into basically a hard lockdown on Saturday night. Are they still in that hard lockdown?
They are. They were told initially that it would be 5 days, and then they've been handed letters saying that they are in detention for 14 days. Now, we don't know whether the full 14 days will take effect or whether people will be allowed out beforehand, but they're certainly looking at up to 14 days.
What stage is the sort of mobilisation of support for them at? Because there was many days where they were not getting the food they needed. People were trying to help. There were charities turning up, but food was being left in hallways. Has that been sorted out yet?
I think you'd have to say it's still being sorted out. Woolworths has been doing bulk deliveries downstairs in the ground floor of the flat near the foyer. Coles is doing door-to-door deliveries. We've heard that charities have mobilised to the extent where they're filling warehouses full of goods, but people, as of yesterday morning, were being turned away from delivering. So the Emergency Management Commissioner, Andrew Crisp, stepped in on the ground and guaranteed that deliveries could take effect. So as of last night, it was getting a lot better.
And what are the reports like from the residents of the buildings who are sending out pleas on social media and things like that?
You'd have to characterise it as despair for a lot of people. I had one man text me last night saying that the washing machines have stopped working. That's sort of situation normal in some of these estates, that the maintenance is a long-running headache for a lot of people. And then you add in the fact that, you know, the lockdown was announced on Saturday with absolutely no warning, so people couldn't go and get food. There were parents who were reporting being without formula or nappies 2 days after the lockdown took effect. The fact that it took such a long time for the supplies to actually make it in there caused a lot of frustration. Mm. There's been some angry scenes at the front of the estates as well. On social media last night, there was a video of police pinning a man to the ground in a fairly distressing kerfuffle with a man screaming, "I can't breathe." So, you know, people are incredibly frustrated at these estates.
The police attitude to this, I mean, again, they've been put into a situation that they're not necessarily prepared for. How many of them are involved in controlling the situation in those towers?
We heard early on that there would be 500 police officers. I mean, obviously not all at the same time. They're working shifts. They're stationed down the bottom of the towers just to try to keep things running smoothly. We've also had 80 firefighters who've been involved with wearing hazmat suits and involved with delivering groceries door to door. The Department of Health and Human Services has sent social workers and nurses. Yesterday, the nurses were going door to door and testing people at the entrance of their flats. It's a big effort and there's a lot of people involved. And I think over the past couple of days, it started to run a fair bit more smoothly. But, you know, it's Wednesday. This started on Saturday.
Yeah. And what is the sort of criteria for lifting it? Is it making sure that every single person has been tested?
At this stage, that's a bit unclear. People tested yesterday were told that their results could take 3 to 5 days. So I think it's clear that the initial 5-day period is unlikely.
The first lockdown, there was this sort of national sense of camaraderie and panic and a lot of adrenaline flowing. Now it's just seems like this relentless drumbeat of bad news, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think, this also coming in the middle of winter is going to have effects on people's emotional well-being and their capacity to get out and go for a walk. I think you're right. I think last time there was a sense that we were all in it together, but we had set postcodes locked down during the week, and now all of metropolitan Melbourne and parts of regional Victoria. So I think this time it's going to be a real challenge to band together and do the Zoom yoga classes.
And to keep being the city editor of The Age while stuck at home, unable to go out.
And homeschooling as well, don't forget.
So just on that, school holidays were supposed to finish when?
School holidays were supposed to finish at the end of this week, and then school's going back next week. At this stage, we're told that the school holidays will be extended by 1 week unless your child is in a special school or in the upper grades of 10, 11 and 12. No one's expecting the younger kids to go back after that.
Right, for the whole of term 3?
Well, for at least 6 weeks, I'd assume.
Oh, Bianca. Well, thank you for joining me again on Please Explain Daily.
Thank you, Tori.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by Chi Wong and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald work tirelessly to cover the news that matters. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search Subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.